Hi, it's Dave. It's a sobering time with the world on the edge as we wait for the next bit of news out of the Russia-Ukraine war. This situation has escalated immensely in the past week, and I want to look at some of the implications. All right, first I want to look at how unexpected the Russian invasion was, even to people in Russia. The Russia stock market crashed by over 50% at invasion last week. You can see this big drop, basically from about 3,700 all the way down to 1,700. It rebounded a bit to about 2,400, but it shows how unexpected this invasion and war even was for the people in Russia. All right, so you have the Russian stock market. It was closed earlier today, and tomorrow on March 1st as well, it's going to be closed. It might be closed for quite a while. We'll see. Next, we have Paul Graham of Y Combinator, and he tweets, he says, the degree to which the world's governments were surprised by the invasion of Ukraine shows how few people were involved in the decision. It kind of makes you wonder how many people are really calling the shots on the Russia side. If you look at this picture by Russia, here's Putin on this side of the table and his top advisors on the other side of the table. It reminds me also that Putin isn't doing the best job influencing world opinion. If you contrast this to Ukraine's President Zelensky, he's winning over the world with his message and courage. He's doing a lot of videos and just really sharing his heart with people. And it's really, I think, influencing the opinions of people around the world. All right, so moving on to what's been happening so far. So Russia has had a pretty unimpressive start to the war. Russian forces have been kind of surprised by the resolve of the Ukrainian army, to fight back. So Russia is escalating things. In a Monday briefing, this is today, a senior U.S. defense official warned that Russia may lay siege to Kyiv and other Ukrainian cities, a brutal tactic that intentionally cuts civilians off from basic necessities like food. An expert in Russia warfare, he says, I'm afraid this is really the beginning. We can see a follow-on invasion with more experienced troops, with more forces, fewer precision-guided systems, more attrition, more carpet bombing and more victims. Brett Friedman, the author of the book on tactics, says, in the long run, Russia is still favored to win the war. It is simply too large and well-equipped. But things are changing radically just in the past few days. The European Union will finance the purchase and delivery of $500 million worth of weapons to Ukraine, making the first time in the bloc's history that it will send arms to a country under attack. And then you have Germany saying they'll supply Ukraine with 1,000 anti-tank weapons and 500 anti-aircraft Stinger missiles in the wake of the ongoing conflict in Kyiv. The Netherlands will supply 200 Stinger air defense rockets to Ukraine as quickly as possible, the Dutch government said in a letter to Parliament on Saturday. And then Belgium will also support the Ukrainian forces with 2,000 machine guns and 3,800 tons of fuel. In Washington, President Biden instructed the U.S. State Department to release up to an additional $350 million worth of weapons from U.S. stocks to Ukraine on Friday as it struggles to repulse a Russian invasion. The EU is further getting involved, so Bulgaria is giving 30 fighter jets, Poland will give 28, and Slovakia will give 12 fighter jets to Ukraine. Further, it looks like they're giving permission so they can fly missions over Ukraine from Poland. And then you have countries like Turkey. They've given Ukraine a couple dozen of these TB2 drones over the past year or so. And these drones are proving to be actually very effective, taking out Russian military equipment and personnel. Now you have the entire political landscape of Europe actually kind of shifting or possibly changing. The Chancellor of Germany said on Sunday that they would sharply increase its spending on defense to more than 2% of its economic output in one of the series of policy shifts prompted by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Let's look at Russia's defense spending from 2008 to 2024. So basically, from 2008, it's hovering around 1% or so, but now you've got this big old jump that's going to happen to over 2% of their GDP because of this war. You also have Kosovo asking the U.S. to establish a permanent military base in the country and speed up its integration into NATO after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And then you have the U.S. and the EU sanctioning Russia. You have them cutting off a bunch of Russian banks from SWIFT, and then you have them sanctioning the Russian central bank, making it hard for them to support the ruble. So who holds Russia's central bank reserves? So if you look at this, Russia has a bunch of gold. China holds about 14%. This is from 2021. Then you have France, Japan, Germany, and the US, UK. So actually a lot of Russia's reserves actually lie in foreign central banks. Because the U.S. has acted in coordination with European allies, Russia's ability to use its international reserves to support its currency has been curbed. Japan joined with Western allies in imposing the central bank sanctions, freezing Russia's yen-denominated foreign reserves as well. And the sanctions we're seeing here are actually unprecedented in scale. This is simply unprecedented to a scale and scope that we haven't seen since the Cold War, said John E. Smith, the former director of Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control. Sanctions against the Central Bank of Russia and the central bank's assets held worldwide are simply beyond comparison to previous sanctioned regimes, particularly involving a major power like Russia. All right, so let's take a step back and ask what's going on here. Basically, everybody is doubling down. Russia is doubling down, refusing to end the war. Ukraine has doubled down by fighting back and urging their acceptance into the EU. The US is doubling down with sanctions and military support. The EU is doubling down with sanctions and military support. Even Japan, Korea, Canada, and other countries are all joining in on sanctions. So what started out as a regional conflict has become one of global proportions. The US and the EU are saying they aren't going to be sending troops to Ukraine, but they're sending in military equipment, missiles, and in the case of the EU, they're sending in military fighter jets as well. It's a tricky situation because since Russia has nuclear weapons, nobody wants to escalate this war to the brink by sending foreign troops into Ukraine. But by sending weapons and by cutting off Russia from their own central bank reserves, this conflict has already escalated way beyond a small regional war. It appears Russia has little support from major world powers, and consensus is growing as more countries are pushing back against Russia's actions. It would be a completely different situation if Russia had the full support of a few other major world powers. Anyways, I'll be monitoring the situation daily, just like many of you. And as with war, there are just so many uncertainties and factors going on. It's likely we're going to have some more escalation before we can get a resolution, but let's all hope we can get there as soon as possible without too many more lives being lost. All right, hope this has been helpful. Go ahead, like, and subscribe. All my videos can be found as an audio podcast as well. Just search for Dave Lee on investing in your favorite podcast player. I'm also on Twitter at HeyDave7. All right, we'll see you guys in my next video. Thanks.